to A Voice of a People Live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or if you would like to call in during this live broadcast, please call 740-383-9944. If you would like to ask any questions or make any comments in reference to the show. Today is July the 26th. Time is moving so fast and there's so much going on. There remains 158 days in this year. I guess I should be telling people, make sure you got your Christmas list ready, because it's really going fast. And before you know, we'll be looking at or singing Auld Lang Syne for 2023. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there, 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement for them, free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next one takes place August the 20th. Begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. We have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 262-0939. Two announcements, Teradice, Tunes at Teradice, Saturdays in August. This location is 1536 Whetstone River Road North, Caledonia, Ohio, 43314, teradice.org. August the 13th, La Costa Mays Trio, Light Rock and Rhythm and Blues, 70s Hits. August the 20th at 4 p.m., Marion Area Strings, George Schramm, conductor. Please mark your calendars. August the 27th at 5 p.m., The Bones of Cincinnatus, Trombones from Cincinnati playing classics to rock. We've had a lot of music going on this summer. I thank God for that. Love music. The other announcement, National Night Out. This is being presented by Marion, Ohio Police Department. This takes place Tuesday, August the 2nd, 2022. It begins at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. This will be held at Grant Middle School. There will be safety forces there, police and fire. From around the county will be on hand with their safety vehicles. Mascot dance off. Come with the dance off and vote for your favorite mascot. Inflatables. Kids can bounce until their little hearts are content. Live band Omega Nick will provide live music. Food. Numerous booths and food trucks from local businesses available for purchase and giveaways. Plus free hot dogs. Yay. And the cost is free. That means you can go and come as you please. Inflatables are free in the live band. Sponsored by Pillar Credit Union and Ashley Home Store. Like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it is titled, Remain Cheerful Within. When faced with problems, it can seem difficult to maintain inner peace. The mind gets caught up with more and more negativity, fear, or worry. Because of this, the problem seems bigger than it is, and we lose the ability to find solutions and work constructively. The first step I need to take when I recognize a problem is to smile to myself. When I make sure I am happy within, I know that every situation will pass and has something to teach me. When I will find solutions come more quickly. Then I will find solutions come more quickly and easily. Remain cheerful within. Okay, now let me turn my attention to my guest today. I've been excited. I've been waiting on Tim to come, and he's finally here. He's a former history teacher at the Marion City Schools. He's also a political historian. He knows his stuff. When it comes down to politics, I don't think you can pull the wool over his eyes, like they say. And I think he was also a former runner of candidacy himself. I think you ran for city council.
I was on city council for 14 years. Yeah.
14 years, right.
On the Board of Elections for 8 years.
Right, Board of Elections for 8 years. Well, Tim, how you doing today?
Okay, great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Day.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the heat is gone.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But Tim said there's so much going on, he does not even know where to start. Are you excited to hear what he has to share with us?
Well, usually I try to start at the national level and work down to the state and local level, but today I'm going to reverse. I'm going to start at the local level and work up to the national level. And let me just make a kind of a, I was in the Board of Elections this afternoon for a couple of things, and they asked me to kind of help plug next Tuesday's August 2nd special primary.
Oh, okay.
Normally, next Tuesday, August 2nd, would be just a special election for, like, tax issues and so forth. And actually, we do have one precinct in Marion County that's going to be voted on a tax issue. That's Richland Township A. There is a 0.75% renewal and school district income tax renewal for the Carrington Lincoln School District, which is for the most part in Morrow County. But there are a few areas that are a little area into Marion County that those people vote on that. So that's that issue. But the major part of the day is going to be a special legislative primary for state Senate, state House, and election of a man and a woman from each political party to the state party central committees. I'm going to hold off on talking about that here for a few minutes yet, but I just wanted to mention that election. Frankly, it's going to be a very light turnout. I haven't checked the numbers yet today from the Secretary of State's office, but the numbers have been statewide have been very light. And I know just looking up at the Board of Elections, their numbers have been relatively light. And
So
I'll come back to that here in just a few minutes. But I want to start with the local items happening, and then we'll move into the state and local and federal government. For the last few weeks or months, there has been talk in the Marion and the city government about a possibility of Marion becoming what is called a charter city.
Right.
And let me just kind of give a little history here. In the state of Ohio, we right now have 257 cities. And in the state of Ohio, to be a city, you have to have at least a population of 5,000 people. Now, that can be established either by the regular federal census. And sometimes if a community thinks they are close to that 5,000 mark, they can ask for a special mid-decade census to determine if they have the 5,000. And we have, as I say, 257 cities right now in the state of Ohio. Of those 257 cities, 188 of them are what we refer to as a charter city. And we here in Marion are one of the 69 cities that are referred to as a statutory city.
Okay.
Now, what's the difference? If a community is a statutory city, this is a city that is chosen to simply use the local city government that is provided through the Ohio Revised Code. The General Assembly has over the years created laws for the development of cities. And so we are one of those 69 cities that use the plan of the provided by the state. Now, a number of cities, since this amendment was added to the state constitution all the way back in 1912, have chosen to adopt what is called a city charter. And you might think of a city charter as kind of like a city constitution.
Oh.
It is where a community has put together a plan for the local city government and to run that particular city. And therefore, if the General Assembly changes the laws for statutory cities, it doesn't impact them because they operate under their municipal charter. Now, how does city do that? Well, and actually back in the mid-1980s when I was on city council, I am a charter advocate. I tried to get something going. I simply could not get anything moving in this way. We have now a new city councilman by the name of Brent Cornelius,
right,
who has apparently ran on this proposal to have a charter developed. And he actually made a little more progress maybe than I was able to accomplish 30-some years ago.
Right.
Got to a point where a committee was named to look at the various things. And they even had an ordinance put together to put the issue on the November 8th general election ballot. But because of, some resistance and also lack of numbers, they decided to send this proposal back to the committee, and so the issue will not be on the November ballot.
Oh, okay.
It's possible it might get on the ballot next May, but it might even be a year from now, November of 2023. We'll just have to wait and see on that.
Right.
And the way this operates is that if let's say this issue were to be on the ballot, and actually Marion voted on this back in the 1950s, and the people did in fact vote to call a charter commission. The commission had 1 year to write a proposed charter. They did write a proposed charter, and it provided for what is called a city manager council form of government. But in November of 54, when the people voted on it, they voted the proposal down.
Okay.
And there really has been no effort since that time, any real significant effort since that time to change that.
That's a long time.
As I said, 73% of the city in the state, cities in the state, are charter cities. And they have chosen to call it a charter. Delaware, Marysville, everything in Franklin County, which is Columbus and so forth, are charter cities. But Marion is statutory. Kenton is a statutory city. Bucyrus is. It's a process to go through to create a charter advocacy. At this point, it's on hold. In a way, there's two ways in which that issue could go to the ballot. One is for the city council to put the issue on the ballot, and the people then could call a charter commission. They would have a year to write the charter, then they would have to be presented to the voters, whether to accept or reject that. Or a group of citizens could petition, file what is called an initiative petition, to put the issue on the ballot. That's what happened with the health department consolidation. The League of Women Voters, and I will give them the credit for this, they were the ones that pushed that issue, got the petitions filed, had a campaign, I think the Chamber of Commerce backed it and so forth, and as it turned out, November of 08, the people approved it. And then January 1 of 2010, we got Marion Public Health, which is our combined public health department.
Right.
So, we'll see what happens in the future on that matter. But right now, it's kind of on hold at this point.
Charter.
Yeah.
City charter, on hold.
Okay. Now, and the next thing is kind of a combination of state and local. As I said, next Tuesday, August 2nd, is this special primary election for seats in the State Senate, State House of Representatives, and the State Central Committee. Normally, these would have all been voted on back at the May primary election. But as I'm sure your people are aware, the redistricting process has been a series of State Supreme Court decisions that ruled the plans that they had unconstitutional. And in fact, as last week, they ruled the congressional map that we're going to be using for this election also unconstitutional. So right now, Ohio is going to be using state legislative boundaries and congressional boundaries for this election that have been ruled throughout by the state Supreme Court is unconstitutional. But on the federal plan, the state Supreme Court said they could use this current plan for this election.
Right.
We'll have to have a new one 2 years from now. The state legislative boundaries, a group of citizens went into federal court, and a federal appeals court panel on a 2-1 vote voted to allow the plan to be used, the state legislative plan to be used for this election. So, with that said, we have two House districts in Marion County under the current plan. One is the 86th district, and one is the 87th district. Let me talk about the 87th district first, because basically it's uncontested. State Representative Rodan McLean, who is from Upper Sandusky, is unopposed for re-election to another term as State Representative, so that election is pretty much over. The 86th district, we do have a contest. In the 86th district, the Democratic candidate is Barbara Luke, who's an attorney from Marysville. She's a Democratic candidate, and she has an uncontested nomination. Okay. On the Republican side, State Representative Tracy Richardson is being challenged by, I believe the gentleman's name is pronounced, Michael Bohan, and he's from I think the Dublin area, very southern end of the district. And he's running for they're running for the Republican nomination. So voters in that Republican primary will decide that nomination. And that's the state representative races. Now, we do not have a state senate seat up this year in this district, so it's not voted on. For the state party central committees, the way this works is we have 33 state senate districts, and these couldn't be voted on until the matter of the legislative lines were determined, because there's a man and a woman elected from each political party to the state central committee. So, on the Republican side, the current state central committee is a gentleman named Jonathan Zucker, who's actually from Marion County.
Okay.
He's running for re-election. These are four-year terms. He is being challenged by a Charles Knight, I believe, as a former committeeman, and he is up from the Tiffin area in Seneca County. And then there's a Ray Metzger from Marengo in Morrow County, and he's challenging Mr. Zucker for the Republican state central committeeman's position. And then the state central committee woman position on the Republican side is Elisa Cooper. She's unopposed for re-election, and she's from Union County.
Okay.
On the Democratic side, we actually have a husband-wife team that represents the 26th District Democrats on that committee. Former State Representative Randy Weston is the gentleman who is the Democratic central committeeman. He did have an opponent in one, Tony Ufiner from Union County, but Mr. Ufiner withdrew his candidacy, but because it was so late, it was too late. His name actually will appear on the ballot, but there'll be actually any votes that he receives will not be counted because he did withdraw. So basically, Randy Weston is uncontested. Now, on the state central committee woman position, Randy's wife Carolyn Weston is the Democratic state central committee woman. She's running for re-election, and she's being challenged by a Kathleen Nally from Sandusky in, it's Erie County.
Wow.
And so that's for the state central committee woman Democratic position in the 26th Senate district.
So is this
those people actually will be elected next Tuesday.
Right. Okay. This is everybody that's on the ballot for next Tuesday.
That is correct.
Now,
yes.
Will that be here in Marion also? We'll be voting on
yes,
these
on these positions. These positions, yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I think what's happening on in the 87th district, since Mr. Rodin is the only, or since McLean is the only candidate, I'm not sure. I know there's no Democratic primary there, and he may not even be, his name may not even appear on the ballot. And if it is, he will be renominated without opposition because he's unopposed. So those are the items that will be voted on in terms of people.
Mm-hmm.
As they say, very light turnout. A lot of people aren't even aware of an election.
I'm sure.
It's been, you know, this is not the usual time of the year for
election. I had no idea.
Well, and as I say, you're not alone in many ways.
Yeah,
so,
special election.
Yeah.
And that's,
but,
what, a week from now? A
week from today, next Tuesday, August 2nd. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. But a question that has roiled the whole political scene since the end of June at the state level and federal level was known, it was called the Dobbs decision.
Okay.
And that was the U.S. Supreme Court's 5-4 decision overturning Roe versus Wade on reproductive rights. The Republican Party for the last number of years has been pushing to bring about this kind of desire.
Right.
There's an old saying, be careful what you wish for because you may actually get it.
True.
And I think this is one of those times when they're getting something that they may come to regret. Polling and other things have indicated that they may very well be a very heavy political price on this issue.
Wow.
And, of course, what dramatized this whole issue was the thing about the 10-year-old girl here two or three weeks ago who had been raped because she was like 6 weeks and 3 days into a pregnancy. Therefore, under Ohio's new law, could not be treated. She ended up going to Indiana, where at that point she was still able to. And then there was some Republicans who tried to doubt whether or not this actually happened. Within a couple of days, Columbus police arrested the gentleman that had carried this act. He admitted he raped her twice. And this has caused, you know, not a national, international uproar. And as I said, be careful what you wish for, because the blowback on this has been significant.
Especially when it comes to elections, right?
Yeah, oh, yes. And I think, apparently, some information out today, Chief Justice John Roberts, who all he actually voted with the majority on a case out of Mississippi, 6-3, but on the separate issue about overturning Roe versus Wade, he lined up with the court's three more progressive justices to try to uphold the Roe thing, and it being a 5-4 decision. And apparently, he was working with particularly Justice Kavanaugh and Coney Baker, a Barrett who had just been named. Then, of course, early in May, the decision got leaked from the Supreme Court, which is extraordinary. I mean, you can have all kinds of rumors, whatever, but you never have, at least ever, that I'm aware of, have a decision leaked out before the court announces the decision. Somebody, and still not known who.
Right.
Because you have to understand, these things are closely held. You have the 9 members of the court. Mm-hmm. You have their law clerks who work with them. And not a whole lot more people. I mean, I'm sure there's some technical staff people that have to get these things prepared, but they're, you know. And based on what we said today, because this, I think it was a New York Times report.
Right.
It might have come from the conservative end of the political spectrum. Because apparently the Chief Justice was trying to work with one of those two people to uphold the Roe versus Wade decision. But then once that thing got leaked out, it made it very difficult to hold on to them. And it's possible that some of the more, how should we say, anti-choice groups or somebody decided to hold it out in the hope that would put pressure on them to not break and vote to overturn.
Right.
And this is, the repercussions of this have been just incredible. And then in that decision, particularly it was a decision of Justice Clarence Thomas, and it was called concurring opinion, where he raised questions about the same-sex issue, mm-hmm. because those marriages have been upheld here a couple of years ago.
Right.
That maybe the court needs to review that. There was what was called the Griswold decision out of Connecticut back a number of years ago that dealt with contraception. And so this has created quite a firestorm.
Wow.
And there's already some ads that are out that have been, already the Senate race between Tim Ryan and J.D. Vance. Mr. Vance's anti-choice views and so forth are coming back to haunt him, and they're already being plummeted. I've seen an ad that was just the other day in the Texas governor's race, Governor Greg Abbott, being challenged by Beto O'Rourke, former congressman who ran for Senate 4 years ago against Ted Cruz, made a strong showing, and now is apparently nipping at Mr. Abbott's coattails. We're getting to the point now that race is almost coming close to be a dead-even race. And money-wise, he has outraised him. Tim Ryan has outraised J.D. Vance 4-5, 6-1 at this point.
Okay.
There could very well be some real repercussions. And I tell you, all you have to do is who doesn't want to talk about it.
Right.
And it's Republicans now suddenly don't want to talk about this issue.
Now they don't want to talk about
it? No, they don't want to talk about it. Well, guys, this is kind of like, you know, the closing the barn door after the horse out. And it's not working for them.
Well, not funny, but like you said, they wanted this so bad. They couldn't let it rest, right? So now they have it. And we're looking at the con of this. Not the pro, but the con of this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, for 50 years, this has been established law, about almost 50 years. And frankly, pro-choice people really were concerned, but they didn't think, because it was a Supreme Court decision, they didn't think it would go back. For the first time, a right was taken away from the American people.
Right.
And now you have these different states and so forth. Today in Indiana, there's a debate going on some measure, and it's created a backlash, and every legislative candidate, congressional candidate, is going to get hit by this every time. Jim Jordan tried to say it wasn't true, then when it turned out to be true, we had to back off on that. Dave Yost, the Attorney General, and where's been Mike DeWine on this? He's been very quiet.
Yes,
because
he
he's the one that signed the law. And so I'm sure Nan Whaley, his opponent, is going to. And frankly, I watched the night of the primary election back in May when Nan Whaley and Mike DeWine, you know, had their victory statements when they won their nominations.
So what effect will this have on the election in November?
Significant.
Really?
Significant.
Oh, we might not have to worry about this one, huh?
Republicans thought they had this one in the bag. Well, as Harry Truman famously said back in 1948 at the 48 convention, when people thought he was a dead duck politically, he said, Senator Barkley and I are going to win this election, make the Republicans like it, and don't you forget it. And people thought, right, Harry, whatever.
Right, right.
Well, Harry Truman ended up having the last laugh in that issue. And Harry was always famous. He said, I only tell the truth about the Republicans, and they think it's hell. People said they'd give him hell, Harry, and
right, so forth.
So we've got that issue out there. And then the other thing going along with that, the other big issue, is the January 6th committee. The hearings over the last seven weeks. I'll tell you what the effect of this hearing, of these hearings. We knew all about the January 6th, 2021 insurrection and the wreck in the Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
But this put it in a systematic way.
Okay.
Gave people an actual look at it and more evidence coming out. And apparently when they come back in September, there's going to be further hearings that they had never anticipated. They've got, as Liz Cheney, the vice chair, has said, the dam has broken, particularly this Cassidy Hutchinson, the end of June, her testimony.
Right.
You've had this Pat Cipollone, who was the White House counsel, which is attorney, his testimony. You've got different things. And then just yesterday or Friday, Mark Short, who was the chief of staff for Vice President Mike Pence, I believe some of them is Greg Jacob, who was, I think he was in the Justice Department or in the White House. They testified before a federal grand jury on the issues involving the so-called fake elector scheme. And in fact, the individuals in Georgia, this Fannie Willis, who was the Georgia, a Fulton County District Attorney in Georgia, has sent target letters to the 60 individuals who are going to be fake electors in Georgia. They may face possible criminal indictment for this. So there's a variety of things happening. And, of course, what all this boils down to is there are many of you who have already revealed that the criminality of Mr. Trump has already been shown, that the Department of Justice, that Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, is going to make a decision here the next few weeks or months about indicting a former president. We've never had that before.
Wow.
We've had impeachments.
Right.
We've never had a former president's indicted criminally. But, you know, when he made that infamous phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State about finding 11,780 votes, and that's, you know, right there. I mean, they got the tape. You know, and just, in fact, I just read today, the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, testified before the special grand jury here just in the last few days.
Yeah, a lot of nerve, though.
So, we've got, as I say, it's that those two issues right there are, I think, driving things. And actually, you're seeing already in polling.
Right.
Money-wise and polling-wise, you're just, it's, and actually now gas prices are dropping.
Yes, they are dropping.
For today, Marion, finally, gas prices are now below
$4. Yes, yes.
And I suspect that by Labor Day, I would not be surprised that gas prices are going to be down around $3 a gallon.
So why is that? I mean, what's
well, you're having,
spiked it?
Some of it may be, people are not demanding as much gas or oil or whatever. Might be more oil is coming on board. I'm not sure what the...
Right.
But it's coming down. Inflation, maybe that's beginning to ease a little bit. You know, getting some of the log jam from the container ships beginning to break up. So things are beginning to happen in And frankly, people talk about a recession. Please, a recession when you've only got 3.6% unemployment.
Right.
I mean, unemployment has just been stronger than expected.
Right.
And so these other issues are beginning to come to the forefront. So we'll see what happens as these next weeks and months unfold.
So someone asked me today, has Trump declared he was running for president?
He has not yet, but he's indicated, and frankly, many Republicans in fear that this, if he does this in the next few weeks.
They're in fear of that, right?
Because that's almost, the election almost won about him, which is not what they want.
Right.
But they may have it won whether they want him or not. And I think Tim Ryan's campaign is geared to about 25 to 30% of Republicans who voted the primary. It voted for mostly this Matt Dolan, who was a state senator from Cleveland. He was the only one of those who did not get in with Trump and whatever. More moderate Republicans who decided, hey, we don't want that. And some of the Republicans who've won nomination for governor in Pennsylvania, Maryland, I forget what the other state is, they're bad news, and I would say they're going to get dumped bad because they tried to hit it with the big lie. All this thing about Rod, it was nonsense.
Yeah.
Nonsense they've been pushing in for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And Liz Cheney, I mean, her father, I and probably with Liz Cheney, maybe not have a lot in view of agreement on issues, but on this issue, she's been.
And very
right
courageous.
Up.
She's been very
and
courageous.
And, in fact, she received the John F. Kennedy Foundation's Profile in Courage. Next Tuesday, she's in a Republican primary out in Wyoming for a congressional seat. She's probably not going to win the primary because within the Republican Party. But
they don't like her now, right?
Oh, yeah. And then there's Adam Kinzinger, who's a Republican congressman from Illinois, who's also the other member of that committee. He's already announced he's not running for re-election. But, I mean, the threats against these people have been incredible. They're under security, protection, and so forth. So it's like I say, we'll just have to wait and see how this shakes out as these next weeks and months unfold. So.
That's true. That's true. And I was so concerned about the November election and, you know, the Republicans gaining power over, what is that, the House and the Senate?
Yeah, well, I think the Senate. Clearly, I don't believe that's going to happen in the House. Frankly, I think the House Democrats are actually going to get a majority in the House, an even bigger majority, because some of the people who they've nominated, we have a race up in Northwest Ohio. Marcy Kaptur, who's the Democratic congresswoman from Toledo area, her district has been redone, and some thought she was in pressure. Well, the guy who's running against her, Joe Majewski, I believe it's pronounced. I mean, this guy's, again, a far-out wacko. I mean, I suspect that she'll be reelected rather easily, probably, because there'll be many, again, even moderate Republicans say, oh, they can't vote for that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
the charter's off the table.
Yeah, that's off. Now, there is another issue that will be on the November ballot, and this is the issue to vote on a new fire station.
Okay.
Again, I go back to my 40 years ago as a city council. We need a new fire station built for all these years. I mean, the current fire station is a joke. I mean, it's been around since the horses were used. And
inside the city?
One there in South Prospect Street.
Okay.
Yeah, since the horses were used. Turned into some sort of a museum of some sort for the fire department.
Right.
But they're looking at building a new fire station out in front of Marion General Hospital, that huge area there in front of Marion General, which obviously would be convenient for emergency use and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, definitely it's needed. And it was needed years ago.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that will be approved and they can move forward. Because, I mean, right now, like, some of them, they can't even park in the garage or in the garage.
Yeah, because
it would actually, the floor can't support it.
Oh.
I mean, it would be an embarrassment if a truck were to fall through the floor or something. So, that's definitely, it's long, long, long overdue for a new fire station. And
she's ready to vote for that.
Yeah. So that's that issue that will be voted on in November. So
okay. New fire station.
Yeah. So of course we do have a county commissioner's race in November. I don't know whether I was here after the May primary or not, I forget. Kathy Masters is the Democratic candidate for commissioner. commissioner against Dr. Mark Davis, former coroner. He beat incumbent commissioner Ken Stuyvesant in the Republican primary. And actually, I've heard some very, actually, the Marion Star here a few weeks ago had a rather extensive article on Mrs. Masters. A very fantastic individual resume.
Oh, okay.
Worked in the financial industry. She's actually first cousin to former Judge Bill Finnegan. Their fathers were brothers.
Okay.
And she is, and she had the Athena Award 1 year, the Woman of the Year Award. So, I think she's a very strong candidate, and people might decide, hey, we need a little change here. Mm-hmm. And she might be that there. If she were to be elected, and County Auditor Joanne Casotas is unopposed re-election, that would give us three Democratic women in the courthouse. Joanne Casotas, the auditor, Jan Draper, the treasurer, and then if Kathy Bass was elected, the county commissioner. And then also here just a week or so ago, Councilman Kai Mee, the first ward Democrat, resigned.
I heard that.
Now, he and his wife and young infant child live in a rented house in Fair Park. They've bought a home down in Prospect. So he had to resign his seat. And they're moving. How this works is now the Democratic committeeman in the first ward. There's only two of them make the appointment. And so we'll see who they appoint for that seat. And they can now have a meeting here in the next few days or weeks, whatever, to appoint a new first ward Democratic council person.
I'm surprised that he had left.
Yeah, well, he was, like I say, they were looking at things and they decided they needed to move. And Kai is actually either in his second or either he's going to start his second or start his third year of law school at North Law School.
He's a young man.
Yeah, and when he gets his law degree and
takes
his passes bar exam, law practice, whatever. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I wish him well.
Yeah, and he's good. And, so he's moving forward with that, and so that change is going to be coming here in the next few weeks. That's where we're at. I think locally, we've got several judgeships that are all contested. I believe in the fall election, there's no judgeships that are going to be contested. We do have three state Supreme Court races, which are going to be very active because of the redistricting process. You have two current members of the court, Justice Jennifer Bruner, who's a Democratic justice, and Justice Sharon Kennedy, Republican justice, running for the position of Chief Justice. And current Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor has to retire at the end of this year because of the 70-year-old retirement age. So she's leaving at the end of December. And then there's also two other seats that are being contested by Republican justices, being challenged by Democratic Appeals Court justices. So, those are going to be contests. And then, of course, you've got the state offices.
Right.
Mayor Schertzer, as you well know, is running for state treasurer.
Right. We have to talk about the mayor. Yes.
Yeah, and, of course, 40 years ago, the person he worked for, Marion Withrow, was in the county treasurer, Marion.
Yes.
Ran for and was elected state treasurer and went on to serve three terms before being named by Bill Clinton to be the U.S. treasurer.
Wow.
And so, in other words, the only person in U.S. history to have been a treasurer at all three levels of government, county or local, state, and federal.
Yes, Mary Ellen Withrow.
Yeah. So,
she went all the way.
Yeah, as I told you before the program came on, occasionally I would sometimes look at the facsimile signatures on the currency. You just kind of glance at it every so often. Never think I'd actually know one of those people whose name was on there.
Right.
Out of a nation over 300 million people, what are the chances? Almost, if I had not lived in Marion, I wouldn't have known her. So.
Right, that's true.
So,
it makes it kind of personal.
Yeah, it does. It does, so.
Yeah.
So that's, and again, we've got those issues, those state issues.
So the judge question has been taken care of, the judge and his wife.
They're in jail. The state Supreme Court turned down their appeal. So former Judge Warner and his wife went to, she's at the Women's Reformatory in Marysville, and I think he was at prison, I believe, up in Lorain County, but I'm not sure about that part of it. But they're.
Does they get special treatment?
No. They are convicted felons or now convicted felons. So yeah, they are.
They're in regular population.
Yep.
Oh, that's sad.
So, and well, like I say, ever seen the movie Shawshank Redemption with the prison, whatever? And so, of course, that was filmed over at the Mansfield old Mansfield Reformatory and so forth. And
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we have elected a judge in his position, or is that?
Well, what happened was Judge Finnegan was named by the state Supreme Court to be an acting judge. And then the governor made an appointment, finally, back in late December, early January, whatever. Matt Frerichs, who's a local attorney, was named by Governor DeWine as the judge. And he's now in the run, I think, for the unexpired 2 years of the remaining term. And then 2 years after run for the full term. So Matt Frerichs is the judge in that position now.
So Frerichs, that is a family of lawyers.
Yes, yeah. In fact, I serve with his dad, Tom, on the Board of Elections. I was one of the Democratic members. Tom was one of the two Republican members of the board.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how many generations? Just two?
Right? I think about 3 or 4 generations of Frerichs have been in the law firm. In the law firm, yeah. Because it'd be Matt, his dad, and his two uncles. And then at one point his grandfather was an attorney. He's long, he's deceased. But yeah, right. They've been through a number of generations of attorneys.
Wow. 4 generations.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
And as I say, as these weeks and months go on, I'm sure we'll be getting more and more.
But it is looking up for us for this.
When people were saying, "Oh Lord, this is going to be a Republican red wave," I thought, "Hey, let's wait and see."
Right.
And I can say, I think probably the last thing probably he's wanted was the Supreme Court decision. Actually, if Chief Justice Roberts had his way and had been able to uphold Roe versus Wade, they probably would have been better off. But the fact that he overturned it has now made this into a whole thing of laws and so on and controversy. And as I say, this 10-year-old child and what happened to her, it has created real backlash. And as I said, be careful what you wish for, because you may actually get it and then not wish you got it. So
is Clarence Thomas, is he out of trouble now?
Well, of course, his wife, Jenny Thomas, made some comments over the years. And some fact, there was some evidence that she tried to push some Arizona legislators to overturn the Joe Biden victory in Arizona. And and there was some possibility that the committee, the January 6th committee, wants to talk to her and may issue a subpoena on her. So,
She's not out of
trouble. Well, she may have some questions to answer. And in fact, Senator Lindsey Graham of Georgia was subpoenaed before this special grand jury. He and I think a Georgia congressman have been trying to fight some subpoenas against them.
Okay.
So far, I think the courts have been much. Usually will not allow them to get out of those subpoenas. They'll have to respond to them. And, of course, just last Friday, Steve Bannon, who was Trump's aide, was convicted for having not abided by the subpoenas from the January 6th committee, and he was convicted.
So what does that mean for him being convicted?
Well, October 21st, he'll be sentenced. I think he'll get up to 60 days in jail and fines.
Mm-hmm.
And, frankly, on Friday, October 21st, when he's sentenced, he could be taken directly to jail at that point.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Whoa, boy. Was it worth all that they went through and took us through?
So, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, it's not funny, but we went through some crazy times.
And, well, of course, you have other people who have also been indicted. Frankly, you have the other people that are, I think, facing criminal indictment besides Mr. Trump. Mark Meadows, his former chief of staff. John Eastman, this attorney from California, who tried to come up with this plan about throwing electors out or whatever. Other ones, they are facing some serious Because, like I say, there's federal grand juries investigating, there's state grand juries investigating. Right. So, we'll see what happens here in these next few weeks.
They should have just did it the right way.
Well, I mean, when you deny reality that
right.
you won when you lost, you know, hey, that's the way the process works, so.
Enjoying the show.
So,
okay. I really am. I thank you so much for coming okay. and sharing with us. And, what can I say, Tim? You always set us straight. You know, and I tell people, Tim Combs knows his stuff. You just really do. To be a historian, and that's just in your blood, though.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We can't keep up with you. By no ways, but thank you, Tim.
Okay, well, have a good day.
You too. God bless.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims, here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We have coming on next our dynamic duo, Tim Jones and Kemba Hubbard, singles, Choosing God's Best. We're going to have another dynamic show, and I pray that you enjoyed the show with Tim Combs today. Wow, he sets things straight, don't he? You know, he holds back no punches. He lets us know exactly where we are and the possibility of where we're going to be, right? And he goes all the way back into history, and that's what I love about it. It's just it's kind of exciting to me. Hopefully it is to you, too. And that, you know, there ought to be some things that we can laugh about that has been political. Not really laughing at one another, but some of the things that we do and try to do and try to get away with. And that's where I'm at. So I wish everybody well. I don't wish harm to anyone, right? Okay. So like I said, the next hour, we will begin at 5:15 until 6 p.m. Kemba Hubbard and Tim Jones, singles Choosing God's Best. Dynamic duo, many of you have heard of them. They will also be on Facebook Live. Tim usually does this when he comes in, so you will be able to text questions or make comments on his page, so that will be available to you as well. Okay, so this is Linda Sims signing out until 5:15. Thank you for tuning in, for listening. Until next time, be blessed, and thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian Pat Cooper.
Listen to me. That's if your friends want to buy that book, and I ain't making a dime on it, I tell you that. I don't give a damn about the money. Let them go to Amazon. It's a cheaper, and it's a great book because it's honest, and you're going to do a lot of laughing. And the only reason I wrote the book, because people who have no life are writing books, and they're boring.